Hello, everybody. Welcome to the People Pleaser podcast. Oh no, purple. Yeah, People Pleaser podcast, right?
That's the what purple we're pill.
The P. Yeah, welcome. Well, this is a podcast. Me and Jeff set up as recovering people pleasers, as it has inhabited our dating success dramatically. And now we just thought it'd be fun just because this is something we connected over. And yeah, hopefully other people pleasers are recovering people pleasers are listening to this. And yeah, we're just going to talk about our previous people pleaser stories, mostly funny, some sad, but mostly funny.
You might shed a tear.
Yeah, you might shed a tear, but yeah, welcome. Welcome. Good to do this. Good to be with you. Hello, Jeff. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. Trying to survive this Texas heat because we got to make – how's the English heat over there?
There's non-existent, absent.
No.
Like an absent father. It's completely non-existent. One thing I hate so much is when seasons don't they're not like what they say they are. You know, I feel like we should – it's almost false advertising. Like we could sue seasons for libel, like for false advertising. Like,
you know what? There are people who are suing fast food places for not giving them, like, if they order a double cheeseburger and it's a single burger, they're suing them. So I think we got a case on our hands, bro.
Yeah. Like, who do you approach when you want to sue spring or sue the summer?
Yeah.
Trade description.
I guess you can't declare it. You got to sue the weatherman, the news station. Sure.
Wherever. Probably sue the Met Office, but I don't know what lawyer would deal with that. Like dealing with elements, natural. Can you sue natural earth elements for not living up to what they say they are?
Yeah, I guess you probably have to sue fake news and false information. I guess you got to go after the instead of the weather, because then you're just, you know, it's a lawsuit against Mother Nature. And
I don't want to sue. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sue. I want to sue snow in March.
Yeah.
You know, I want to sue drizzle in July. These are the things I want to sue and get a lawyer for.
Yeah. Hey, if this podcast doesn't work out, we got some lawsuits on our hand.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, as like I said before, we are recovering people pleasers. And yeah, I don't know about you, Jeff. Right. When did you realize you was a people pleaser in the people pleaser movement?
Yeah, I think the moment I realized that not only was I a people pleaser, but I was like one of the forerunners in the movement. Was whenever when someone asks you, have you seen this TV show or have you seen this movie or have you heard of this band? I would just start saying yes. They'd be like, oh yeah, have you seen Everywhere, Everything All at Once? I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen it. It's on Hulu, right? They're like, no, Netflix. Oh yeah, I meant to say Netflix. So I would make up, I would just start agreeing with people just so they don't feel the conversation is derailed. And then but the other way around, when I'd ask them, I'd be like, so have you ever seen the show The Shrink Next Door with Will Ferrell? They'd be like, no. I'm like, oh yeah, no, not a lot of people know about it. I'd feel bad that I brought it up that they don't know about it. So I think that's my moment I realized, like, I think I'm getting close to the CEO, but I don't want to, you know, take that title off the CEO. You know, I don't want to offend him, but I'm definitely a candidate. So, but what about you, Rob? When did you know that you were also in the office? Yeah.
I never used to do the film thing, but I think mainly in dating, probably people pleasing, just trying to please your way into attraction, trying to please your way into sexiness.
Yeah.
And just like thinking like doing everything for the girl would make her eventually have this light bulb moment of, oh, actually, he's actually a really nice guy. There's something different about you. You give me lifts everywhere. You do stuff for me. Like you did, like hoping for that light bulb moment that the girl has, but really, the more you please them and the more that you just, you know, ignore your will and desires, the less attractive you become, you know. So I think in dating, it definitely had a big impact. I mean, even recently, right, this is still an ongoing process, Jeff. Like, there was this girl that I liked, this Indian girl, and yeah, kind of liked her. And then I just offered to pay for her groceries once, right? And this is the thing, it's also hard being like a person of faith and a people pleaser, because you kind of confuse the two. You convince yourself that, oh yeah, this is what God was telling me to, this is what God would want me to do, like, this is what
as like a generosity thing, like, hey, this is what to take the shirt off my back.
It's 100%. You convince yourself that this is pure, this is no agenda, and this is coming from just my selfless Jesus like spirit in my, and you kind of impress yourself. You're like, actually, I'm actually kind of amazing. I want to offer this girl, you know, I want to pay for her groceries, but really, there's a deep manipulative, sinister almost agenda underneath it all. You're hoping for reciprocation, I suppose. You're like, if I do this,
like a Hallmark movie moment, because I think in those movies, you know, not that I've watched them, but I think there's always a scene where, you know, the rugged small town guy helps out a homeless guy or someone in need, and then the girl clicks the big city. Right,
I want to sue rom-coms for educating me to think like the nice, generous kind of victim mindset guy can actually get a girl. I want to sue them too. But anyway, I was, I just met this girl. I offered to pay for her groceries and then took her to Trader Joe's, which is, that's quite high anyway, isn't it?
It's not a Whole Foods high, but it's high. It's higher than rap. Like, if you join her, I'm willing to spend, but like, I'm not, you know, it's like you're going the extra mile, not the extra 10 miles. So,
yeah, but I'm still going extra. Why go extra 10 miles when you can go the extra mile? But it's, so I just started, basically, it was like, oh, yeah, fill your cart under the, like, assuming that she would just. To like take the essentials like milk, bread, rice maybe, but then she just kind of I see like like Harvest bars go in and see.
You're going away from the essential aisles, right? You're going away from the dairy section. You're going away from. Yeah, I'm okay with one item in the snack aisle, but you're going away from.
Yeah, I was thinking like three or four items, like milk, bread, but then we do the first bit, and then we go into another aisle. I'm like, oh, okay, we go into another aisle, and then we get the cereals, we get honey, and it's like, oh, okay, but then I convince myself like, like she does deserve this. I should be this generous, but. We end up putting in the whole car, and I'm like, okay.
Wait, was it a hand basket or a full grocery cart?
This is a trolley.
A trolley, okay.
This is a trolley, right? But she was quite young as well. She, you know, I don't blame her, right? I don't blame her. This is on me. If you are listening, this is all on me. But we check out. I spend a lot more than I thought. I didn't buy anything. I didn't get anything from Trader Joe's.
Not even a beef jerky stick or like green, like it's a protein shake to make you look like you've worked out that day. You needed your protein shake.
No, I was just like literally following her and the trolley. And then I helped her put it in the car. And then she checks out. And then I feel like I'm going to get some love or some thank you, Rob, so much. Like, thank you. I feel like that response is coming, but instead, it's like, can we go Sprouts?
Wait, you weren't done just at Trader Joe's. You had to go to Sprouts, which is a little higher on the pecking order than Trader Joe's. She wasn't in the full grocery cart yet.
No, Sprouts is just crazy, isn't it? That's very high. And then I looked at her and I was like, yeah, of course. Yeah, obviously, because essential items, right? And then basically took her to Sprouts. And then at this point, right, I'm starting to resent, like starting to get a bit annoyed, like a bit resentful. And like that also is a key for the people please. Whenever you feel resentment bubbling up, that is a sign that you're probably getting taken advantage of and you probably need to do something, set a boundary or something. But no, we just kept going to Sprouts, and then she like picks up this hair shampoo.
Wait, which so we're off of groceries now. We're now on a hair product. We left bread a long time ago.
We've done groceries. That's in the past.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's picking up this hair product, and then she's like, can I get this? I'm like, yeah, sure, yeah, if you need it for your hair. And then she picks up another one. So she got two. And then we checked out, and I think she got a few more things, but we checked out, and it was like $80.
Yeah.
That everything came to. And yeah, that's how... that's my mindset of trying to woo a girl, just pay for their groceries, buy them stuff, I suppose. And I'm sure that really kind of turned the sexiness on for that woman and made me really attractive to her. But that is probably where my people pleasingness has kind of just showed up the most, become the most prompt, most, yeah. Exaggerated dating, yeah.
Because with girls, it highlights it more. If it's inside of you, then that's going to bring it out to the fullness. Because I think people think that, okay, you know, it, just in general, like when people date or they want a relationship, they think, okay, these problems are going to go away. And then, no, it heightens it even more. Then the stakes are higher. Yeah, this is a full-on T-bone Wagyu steak now. You go from ground beef and like bigger steak.
This is big steak. Yeah, this is this is not Outback House.
Yeah, and was there any with the Indian girl? Like, did she thank you? Was it reciprocated, or was it
obviously no. She's not going to buy me groceries. She's not going to buy me hair products. And like, this is not having a go at this person. She's well within her right not to buy me groceries.
No, yeah, and then now.
She did nothing wrong. It's like, but because I put that out there as like a, kind of as reciprocation, like if kind of a sly, if I do this for you, you're going to be in debt to me. I'm going to have credit, and I'm going to be able to claim them credits at any time I wish. And kind of just thinking, I suppose for attention or suppose. I think I probably generally thought it would make her like me, like make me attractive. But because this is the thing, a bit like, I think maybe not to get too deep, right? But I think a lot of people pleasers, maybe this is true for most people pleasers, but I think there was a feeling that there's probably a self-worth issue there somewhere. Like I'm already behind. Like I feel like I'm already behind. I'm already need to make up the ground, right? Because as me as by myself with how I look and you know my personality, that as itself is going to be that is not enough for me to attract her. So I already have to make up the ground
by showing hey, I'm willing to spend, I'm willing to do something nice for you because you're feeling like if I'm in a deficit now, this is at least going to get me to break in.
That's the word.
Though, like you yourself, you know, are enough, but being a people pleaser, you feel like you're coming at a deficit, so you try to do extra things that
100%.
Yeah,
there's just a belief that you're not going to stick around if I'm just me. Like I have to be extra. That's why I'm probably do comedy. It's like I have to be extreme. Otherwise I'm going to get missed, right?
Yeah,
that kind of mindset.
It's kind of like our alpha male trait, is being in comedy, because it shows like, hey, listen, we're obviously you and I are not out there hunting bears every week. You know,
what do you mean? What do you mean? Yeah, last week I kind of I got a big one on my wall right now. What are you talking about?
Oh, wait. Oh, that was the bear stew that you were talking about. Listen, obviously I might be, you know, deer hunting or whatever, but you know, but we're not wrestling bears. We might be hunting bears, but we're not out there wrestling bears. We're not eating leather off our jackets because it gives us more testosterone.
There should be groups though. There should be groups for like bear hunters, but like beta male bear hunting. You can just meet up in a group. They're all beta males, but also like to hunt bear.
Absolutely, yeah. So, and supplement to being in that group, that's where we take on comedy. Hey, listen, that guy might wrestle a bear, but I can outwit the bear.
Yeah, and like, just a quick one on comedy. You're from an early age, you realize that comedy is almost a cheat code to be accepted into a group. Like if you can make people laugh, you kind of solve the problem of being evicted from the group. You bring it kind of keeps you there, doesn't it?
And then you're the funny guy. It's like if there's any Office fans out there from the three people that are listening to this podcast, shout out to Joel and Petre. You know, who obviously have all seen The Office, like when Will Ferrell's character came in and he's picking on Andy because Andy does something funny. And then he's like, hey, you're the funny guy. Make me laugh. And then now you feel like that's your so. And then throughout the whole episode, he's like, hey, funny guy, make me laugh. And he does things to the extreme to make his new boss laugh. And so when you enter in the group and you try, okay, I got to be the funny guy. Then you feel like that's all you bring to the group is being the funny guy. And then you're worried if you don't.
Yeah, but also people assume that's you kind of get put in that mold. They assume that that's all. There's nothing really going underneath. When there is, like almost comedy is almost a survival mechanism. It's like it's what you do to survive in the group dynamics. But group dynamics are interesting, I think, for people pleasers.
Absolutely, I know. Sometimes fitting into groups and trying to, find that dynamic where I fit in. Like I have these, group of friends, again, they are the alpha guys, which we were talking about. And, they talk about doing stuff. Like one of them is like, oh yeah, like, when we talked about hunting, even though we're hunting bears, they're hunting jackrabbits. And they're out there shooting. And I'm trying to find a way to be able to, fit in and be part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And what can I do even besides comedy? Because I don't want to keep on being the funny guy in the group. I want to contribute and be like, hey, I did to make me fit in. And I feel like there is that part that comes out every now and then. Just like, I also want to find something like, oh, like that surprise. Like, wait a minute, you play guitar? You do this? Okay, there's another trait you can fit in. But for me, I don't play music. And then one day I overheard them talking and they were like, one way that you can increase testosterone is by sunning your balls. And so I'm listening to it and I'm like, I gotta try it. And I'm like, say that you've done it and I can fit in. And they're like, yeah, it increases testosterone levels. You have better workouts afterwards.
Who was this guy? Who was the alpha male saying, like, who set the standard of, like, you gotta tan your balls?
Oh, yeah. He always, his name, a good friend of mine. And if he's listening, love you, man. His name is Chad. So he's about 6'7".
Yeah, that's a classic tanning your balls guy name.
Jack. It is. Yeah. And he's about 6'7" because I always have to have all friends. So wherever I go, I need to surround my
Bro, me too, bro. Me too.
Yeah. And I'm deciding, I'm going to go sun my balls. So I did it thinking I'm, I live in LA and I saw the apartments. Well, when I lived in LA, there, I put a towel on my deck because I had a little deck at my place. And I'm like, okay, looked around, see if anyone was watching, opened my shorts, took the balls out, sunned them for about 10 minutes. Even though there's one guarding it.
You can't just effortlessly take the balls out like it's like you're cooking rice or something like that. Like you're just like it's an instruction on how to cook and just take the balls out and tan them. Like you got it so matter of fact. About
you just take the balls out, tan them, you know, for about 10 minutes. You don't want to do it too long. You don't want to burn them. You know, just like with rice, you don't want that, you know, you don't want too many crispy rice. You know, you don't want the rice to be too crispy. You want it to be just right where you can put the soy sauce in. But anyways, you know, I'm sure there's people watching me from a higher apartments being like, what is this guy doing? And so just, and then afterwards, I had more energy, but you know, I was like, you know, then the next day I was able to say to the guys, it worked. It really worked. I saw my balls. Like, okay, cool. Then they moved on.
Happened after you told them? Did they welcome you into the, like the balls community, like the tanning your balls community, or?
They did call me Balls Mahoney for a moment.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know, I wasn't, I did have the testicular fortitude after that, but I was welcome into the balls community. That was about it. Was it worth it? Probably not. But it was all that was so I can fit in, even though with this group. And if I were to talk to Chad, who, if he's ever listening, they'd be like, bro, you were already accepted. You didn't need to do that.
Yeah. But we don't feel that viscerally, do we? We were always on the edge, I think.
Absolutely. We feel like we need to offer something else. When in reality, what they're seeing is like, bro, you're already, like, we love you for who you are.
Yeah, but also, from their point of view, that we're surpassed that. We're like the legends of the group. We're like bro, you're so fun. You are a legend. You're so funny. You are the ultimate. You're part of this group. But we're like, oh, I'm just like holding on to survive. Like any joke, any time. Please like me. Yeah. Please don't abandon me, you know. Absolutely. And it's interesting, though, with group dynamics. For me, too, always make friends. All my best friends were like alphas. I would always, in every group dynamic, I would always like subconsciously, like definitely not consciously, like subconsciously seek out who's the leader of the group. And then I would become their second, their number two. I'd become their assistant almost, like the assistant alpha, you know. And it's just weird that, again, just subconsciously seek that out. But it's all tribal. It's all group dynamics, all like, just don't, I want to be in the group. Don't get, I think also because maybe a bit like I'm not physical, I'm 5'7".
What? I thought you were 6'5".
I'm five seven, and you know, not physically, I'm not probably going to be able to keep myself in the group. If push came to shove and there was a showdown between, and I was involved in that, physically, I would not come out of that on top.
You would have got shoved.
Yeah, I would have got shoved, not pushed. But so you just subconsciously, it's the survival instinct. You're aware that I haven't got the cards. I haven't been dealt the cards physically. I need another alternative option, and that is humor, like comedy. But comedy and people pleasing, making people laugh and people pleasing are similar. It's the same mechanism you're using to have people to have people stick around.
Yeah. I think. Well, I heard this even about Robin Williams. I heard this on the Joe Rogan show. Shout out to Joe Rogan if he ever listens. And to give him credit for this. So Robin Williams apparently would steal jokes sometimes, because the heart of it was he wanted to kill every set. He did not want to disappoint. And so, I heard Rogan talk about it. He would go into other comedy clubs and, like, even, like, you know, before he died, and he would go in and listen on the material the comedian was giving. And then literally in the next set, he would take it on a TV show, because he always wanted to kill in his sets, because he always wanted to make it would drive him nuts. And obviously we saw the unfortunate result in his life. And of course there was other complications too, but like, that's what people pleasing does. Like, you'll do, when you let it go too far, you'll do whatever it takes.
Oh, but yeah, him, you can see in interview, like, he's always on. Like, he was literally, he was the extreme, on the extreme end of it. But again, a byproduct of that is just a genius comedian. Yeah. Like, just a joy, electric joy, like joy personified, you know. But you can tell when you're talking to him, he's just always performing, always on, always, you know, in that mindset.
Yeah. What a legend. Miss having him around.
Bro, he was the best. But yeah, the best to ever do it, I think.
Absolutely. Well, I know, Rob, sometimes there's a core of why this happens. And for being a people pleaser. And I think the moment for me,
here we go.
Yeah, this is where we get deep, guys.
So when does it happen? What is the deep core issue?
Where does it all stem from? Well, it doesn't stem from me not seeing the movie that I said I haven't seen, that I have seen.
That's a symptom. That's definitely not.
It's like you have a cough. The symptom isn't because you have coughinitis. which doesn't exist. It's usually a cold or bronchitis, which nobody got time for. Shout out. Which I had bronchitis once. It was in Bible, like right when I graduated Bible college. I went up, I did my speech. I had mono, which I don't know how I got because I didn't kiss someone. But in comedy terms, I have.
You're the first person to get mono without kissing someone. You should be in a record book or something.
I should be, yeah. There should be a record for that.
Bro, you should put that on your Hinge profile. That you should lead with that. I got mono without kissing anybody.
I got mono without being kissed, and I liked it. You know, you got to play off that song. I kissed a girl. I liked it. Well,
I kissed no one, and I got mono.
And I like, but the deep symptom of this, the deep symptom. We're gonna get there. We're doing a whiplash right now. Not talking about the movie. No copyright issues with that. So one time when I was in school, but there was a moment. It was in middle school when kids are the nastiest in middle schools. Like I don't know how it is now with
school in general is just tough, isn't it?
It's tough. Yeah, I don't know how different it is now. I'm sure stuff goes on. I know they call the kids now are Gen Alpha, but that's different from Alpha Male. That's just their alpha term. So when we're talking about Alpha Males, we're talking about like, you know, big guys. Yeah, we're not talking about kids, you know, that's the last thing on our, so let's edit that part out to our sponsors. But middle school, it's rough. And I remember there was a moment and a lot of these issues, I can always come back to this where, you know, they were asking everyone around if people like me or if they were friends with me. There was
just me.
And I saw them. Every day they'd go on this morning walk. So they would do like a walk around the whole school outside. And then one of these walks overheard someone ask everyone, "Are you friends with Jeff? Are you friends with Jeff?"
Oh. Yeah.
And everyone said no. And then afterwards they said, to me, no one likes you. No one is friends with you.
But who is this guy? Is this guy in your? Are you friends with this guy? Or what?
No. He was my bully.
Oh my god!
There was other instances, but that was the one that always stuck with me. And I think,
wow,
yeah,
wow, that's horrible, man.
Yeah. So I can always pit back sometimes, being like, yeah, that was the root of it. Of a lot of it, and I know sometimes
that one scenario alone caused.
Yeah.
Really, wow.
Yeah.
And at the time, did you realize anything was going on internally?
Oh, big time! Yeah, I was like, "Do people like me?" And it just totally destroyed me. And I think throughout the years, even though I've got healing, and you know, and even though I've had, you know, the Lord heal a lot of stuff in my heart. Yes, we are Christians. We haven't picked it up. I know you do, Ross, Petri, and Joel, but there's still, it's always subconsciously sometimes inside of you. Anytime, like, you know, I've just moved to a new city and there's always this thing deep down inside. It's just like, I have to get them to like me. And there's always that social anxiety, a little bit of it. And that's due to the incident in middle school.
Wow, that's trauma, isn't it? That is traumatic.
Big time.
I think trauma just plays such a big part in forming personalities, I think. Trauma probably has more credit than like any creative, maybe even more than, you know, I don't know, natural, just how personalities naturally evolve. But I had a similar situation. Not
really.
I don't think it was as I don't think it was as bad as yours. My friend is similar to yours. It was my friend, best friend at the time. I don't know how it happened, but he ended up going around the class and doing a survey and asking every girl in my class if they would date me, and everyone said no because girls are like that, you know. They're not going to say, oh yeah, like the,
no.
So yeah, but I don't know if it was completely down to that. I think my mum was in hospital when I was like four, I can't remember, but I think that played a role. Like, just yeah, the sense of abandonment or sense of trying, my whole life is like been defined by just fit in at any cost. Like, please don't leave me out. I suppose that's probably that's a driving, more than career, more than money, more than wanting to be successful. I wish my core driver was towards them things, you know, I'd be probably a bit happier, yeah. But just the main driver in my life is just, I have to get you to like me. Like, I'm so sensitive to the like-ometer.
Yeah.
Right? When I'm talking to someone.
It's like a lesson that Seinfeld taught us. There's that one episode where George, where he's wanting Jerry's girlfriend to like him.
Oh, what is that, when he does everything opposite?
No, that's a different one. This is when Jerry's dating someone who doesn't like George because George was a little obnoxious, you know, being George, just being George. And then George was asking Jerry at the cafe, he's like, so what, did she like me? He's like, wait, you paused. What does that mean? And then he was like, you probably won't see her around much. She doesn't like you. And that destroys his world. And he's like, then Jerry asked him, do you have to be liked? Yes, I have to be liked by everyone. And George, who was in a great relationship in the episode, sabotaged it just to get this girl to like him that was dating Jerry. So
yeah, and it's ironic because the strategies that you use to get people to like you actually push people away. You know, if you're overburdening, if you're, you just keep pushing, like keep doing, if you keep pleasing, it pisses people off too. They just want the authentic version. But I think there's probably many factors why you become a chronic people pleaser. But I think, in the early formative years, there's definitely something, not everybody turns out like, I think most people are not people pleasers. Do you think?
No, I don't think most people aren't people pleasers, but I think deep down inside there's this common human connection of like, we're made to be loved, we're made to love others. So
yeah.
So obviously there is people like they care. Like, do people care? Like, one of the number one fears people have besides public speaking, which, hey, we've mastered. Let's go.
I'm so good at is that a result of being a people pleaser? Do you think, like, good at public speaking? Yeah, good at performing. Yeah, I'm so good at public speaking.
Oh yeah,
like, and people like are in awe. Like, how do you get up and speak in front of the people like this? No, because this is this is my chance to get everybody to like me. I'm gonna hone this.
Totally, I've had people say to me too. They're like, you're better at public speaking than you are in, like, you know, one-on-one group conversations. And I'm like, wow. I'll take that. But yeah, I think there is a correlate. But so the number two fear, I think, is loneliness and being alone. So I think at the core of everyone, they want to be loved. But I think with people pleasers, it's more in heightened because it's more of a higher value. Because we might put more effort into getting people to like us than maybe our careers or maybe our goals at times. Because it's like, I need to like us.
That's what I mean. That's why I'm so annoyed that is my main driver, you know, getting people to like me. But yeah, I think there is a fear of you're going to end up alone, probably. Do you think you're just going to end up with nobody around?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get married. You're not going to have a family. You're just going to end up alone. And that's just a real fear, isn't it?
Yeah. We're going to be that guy going into Burger King at 7 a.m.
Oh, no, bro.
And making small talk with the cashiers. And that being our fix for the day.
And it's weird, like, the longer you are by yourself, the more urgent, the more, like, rapid, the more frantic you, the people-pleasing, liking.
Yeah.
Especially in dating, I think, but.
Yeah. So I think a few takeaways from today is, number one, bear hunting. Consider that.
Beta bear. There should be a beta male bear hunting group. I'm going to start it. Bear hunting for beta males. Beta males. Beta males. I don't know how you say it.
Yeah. Beta males. Bear hunting.
Beta. That's it.
Beta males.
Beta males.
Number two, do public speaking. You know, at least get over one fear. And then I'd say deal with your past stuff. Like, you know, if there's anything that comes up, and don't be afraid if you're like, but you're like, Jeff, Rob, I've already dealt with this. Do I need to deal with this? I was like, doesn't mean you're poking the bear at the stick. You're not poking it. You're not poking the bear with the stick. Be aware when something surfaces, whether it's in dating, whether you're saying, I'm going to take a remote meeting down in San Diego to meet up with a girl on a date because I'm afraid she'll say no if she drives up to, if she finds out she has to come up to Los Angeles. Like, be okay. Where is it coming from? Like, ask yourself, why? Yeah. Is this going to be my response?
The thing that you said the other time, would you do that for yourself? Like, would you, the thing that you're doing for the other person, would you actually do that for yourself? Would I buy myself, would I go to Sprouts and buy myself the equivalent of, you know, what the hair shampoo is? Would I fill my car up? And would you do that for yourself? I think self first, yeah, I can't remember. I was going to say something. I can't remember. But
it's because if you love yourself, if you're able to do that for yourself and love who you are, then the other part overflows better. Because if you're not willing to spend $200 on yourself, then it shows the value you have for you. And then,
Also, you've started off at $200. Like, and this is, I haven't even been on a date with this girl. What if I did date her, what she's going to be expecting?
Yeah.
She's going to be expecting increase of the income. I'm going to set the bar low and then build up.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, just be, I think, realistic with, I feel like both of us are never going to be that Jason Statham, not give a shit. I feel, you know, we're probably not going to get there. But we could probably, like, that's a 10, if that, but we could probably get, if we're on a 1 now, we could probably get to a 4 or a 5, you know.
Absolutely. And, I was proud of myself on a Hinge date. I went on a Hinge date, a year ago, and, one date with her, I spent, the bill was about $150, and I was like, I got this. And then I decided, you know what, maybe for first dates. Instead of, throwing all out, like, hey, I'm going to throw out, the red carpet for it because I'm already in a deficit. I was like, let's just do something creative. Ice cream on the beach.
Oh, beautiful. That's going to speak volume. The girl's going to be like, oh, you've put more, it's quirky, it's different, it's creative.
Yeah.
I'm going to be more impressed.
Totally. And then you can still allow the creativity to flow and yourself to flow. And you're not spending $150 on the first date because you're like, wait, would I do that for myself? And then I'm like, you know what? I would do that for myself. I would take myself on the beach for ice cream.
But also, the key lie is that you're not in a deficit.
No.
You're not in a deficit. That's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I need to hear that for me,
Yeah. We're not the US budget right now. We're not in a deficit. We're not in a trillion-dollar deficit. We're coming from a place of surplus. And we got it ourselves, brother.
Come on, bro.
Well, hopefully everyone's enjoyed. We're sorry if you haven't. We're still recovering people. Pressure to listen to it. Pressure to like it. We're sorry in advance about it, but no pressure to like, respond, or subscribe, whatever the buttons you need to do for the podcast. No pressure.
Whatever you want to do. And no worries. That'll be quite fun to do for the key people pleaser terms.
Yeah.
keywords.
Keywords. No pressure. No worries.
I'm easy. No worries.
All good.
All good. Yeah. Also, if you're trying to confront someone, put low at the end.
Yes.
Multiple lows. Multiple low. Yeah.
Hey, can you send me the $20 that you owe me? LOL. No worries. LOL. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but in reality, we're not laughing. We're like resentful why that they haven't sent the $20 already.
Absolutely.
Because we built up all this. We've given you all this. We've built up all this credit. We should be able to cash in our people pleaser credit at any time.
Absolutely. And in our heads, we feel like we're going through a villain phase, but actually we're just setting boundaries. In our head, we're like, hey, can you send me the $30 you owe me? Period. You leave a period there. What is happening? And then
we think we're just, you know, the ultimate. We think we're like Dr. Evil or Bane from Batman. Anyway, people pleasers.
Join us next time. We need to get
a tagline. I was going to say keep pleasing, but that's the opposite of what we want them to do. Stop pleasing. People pleasers.
Yeah.
People pleasers. Keep.
The tagline.
People pleasers. Keep.
Value yourself.
Oh, yeah. People pleasers. Please yourself first.
Yes.
Please yourself first. Yeah, there we go.
Take the purple pill for yourself before you take it for other people.
Come on. Come on, Lord.
Now, it doesn't mean we become son of a guns. It doesn't mean that we're, you know, buttholes from here on in. Mm-hmm, but we set healthy boundaries here and there. Start with that. Yeah. You know, please yourself first.
Yeah, it's kind of almost up there with the tanning the bulls.
Love yourself first.
Love yourself better than please yourself first. Just sounds dirty.
Thanks for listening, Ross. This is DJ Jazzy Jeff and Rob.
All right. See you guys.